I'll stand, please.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Councilmember West?
Present.
Councilmember Hanson?
Here.
Councilmember Olson?
Here.
Councilmember Ingram?
Here.
Councilmember Mutzler?
Here.
Councilmember Birch?
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Here.
All right, everyone, this is our chance. We didn't get a chance to speak to us, but it has to be something that's not on tonight's agenda. So if anyone would like to come up and speak about any item not on the agenda, now's your chance. Yes, sir. You get to go first. John has to be last.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
This may be on the agenda, but I just come to hear what was...
Can you just say your name and address just for the
record? Yeah, my name is Fred Rudolph. I live in Portal Way, 6350. Two meetings back, I was told that we're going to have a priority on the roads. I don't know if that's going to come up tonight or not.
It is, actually. We're going to be talking about our capital improvement program.
Right.
We will be talking about roads and sidewalks.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Okay.
It didn't say that specifically on the agenda there, so...
You didn't know exactly what capital improvement was.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it in a few minutes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Would anyone else like to come up and speak on the...
I have one other comment.
Sure.
On our water. Mm-hmm. Our water, I think, is slowly getting better, but there's been a hell of a lot of chlorine in it, and I've talked to that gentleman right there, and I think he's working on the program, and it seems to be getting better. So, I don't know why all the chlorine, but...
They're working out the new system.
Yeah, it's new and got to be done. He's working on it, and that's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak?
I've instructed all the high school students. Okay, at Papa John and 6072 Malloy Avenue, I've instructed all the high school students to pay close attention to me. And the rest of it is just kind of political stuff. Anyhow, tonight I start off by telling you that as a very slow learner, the Lord has given me, starting today, 72 years to figure out what's going on. And so I intend to continue trying to do that and bring enlightenment to you all in the process. My thought for today is, and I've shared this with you before, that one of the greatest things we can do for our heart is to reach down and pick somebody else up. And as part of that, I want to thank many of you for having been part of my lost and found here this on the 19th of November, which would have been my 50th wedding anniversary, but my first wife died. But my backpack was stolen from Hagen's, as many of you know, if not all of you, much to my surprise, because on Thursday morning, I had not told anybody except at Hagen's and the police department about it. Thursday morning, I get a call from my pastor who said everybody in the town knew about it. Well, I don't have a computer. I'm still working on smoke signals, and so I didn't know anything about that. But I found out later on when I got a printout that there were a number of you who expressed concern about that, and I'm truly, truly, truly appreciative of that. It was found on Friday morning. They had taken my backpack and dumped it all in the trash around back behind Hagen's. And since I wrap up my Bibles and my books in plastic as I walk in the rain, there was some minor damage to those, and there were several things missing. But the most important things to me were my Bibles and my notes that I've taken over many months, and that was recovered. But anyhow, so the point of it is, I do want to say to you publicly and personally and heartfelt, thank you very much, as you represent the community, and I felt like the community kind of came to my aid. So thank you.
That computer site, John, was Facebook. It went viral on Facebook. Yeah.
The only time I use Facebook is when I can't read the print.
All right.
No problem.
Let's move on.
Did it to yourself.
All right, Council. We're going to adjourn our regular session and go into session as the Transportation Benefit District. Before you, you have the incredibly exciting consent agenda for the TPD. Why, yes, Mr. Hansen.
I move that we pass the consent agenda for the Transportation Benefit District.
Second?
Second.
All right, moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Thank you, Council. All right, we're going to go back into our regular agenda, starting with, once again, our consent agenda.
Move to accept the consent agenda as submitted.
Second. Thank you. All right. Moved and seconded. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Unanimous. Thank you, Council. All right. Chad, you are up. Our capital improvement program. Yes.
Excuse me? The presentation?
Oh, my goodness. I completely forgot. I'm sorry, Chief. I'm sorry, Chief. Do you want to do your presentation?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Council. I completely forgot. The Chief has a presentation he'd like to make.
Good evening, Council.
Apologies, Chief.
The highest honor that the police department can bestow on another is to make them an honorary officer. Since 2008, the police department has bestowed the title of honorary police officer on three members of this community, including Alcoa Corporation, for their distinguished service in support of the police department's public safety mission. Two more will be added this evening to the honorary ranks of the police department. Mark Debach, Assistant Superintendent of the Ferndale School District, and Yori Burnett, Community Development Director for the City of Ferndale. By way of background, the police department reached out to both of tonight's honorees over a year ago to help update the statewide computerized database called Rapid Responder that supports law enforcement's response to a fast-moving critical incident in our school, such as an active shooter. Both of these gentlemen proved to be invaluable partners in this undertaking. Thanks to Mr. Burnett and the young college interns that he recruited and supervised, every space in every school, classrooms, hallways, cafeterias, storage areas, have been digitally recorded in a format that allows officers to take a virtual tour of all the schools on their laptop and to practice tactical responses to critical incidents prior to an actual event. His efforts will shortly be uploaded into the Rapid Responder statewide system, allowing access to every officer in every department in this state, and it will doubtlessly set the standard for other departments. The police department is grateful to Mr. Burnett for his creative energies and dedicated commitment to public safety and to the Ferndale Police Department. And thanks to Mr. Debach, his broad vision and open leadership style greatly influenced the strong, important, and growing partnership between the Ferndale Police Department and the Ferndale School District that arose from this present collaboration. Not only will our schools benefit from this partnership, but the community will as well. The police department is grateful to Mr. Debach for the beneficial influence and tone that he brought to this important public safety initiative. Everyone is on the front lines of this battle to keep our schools safe, and the strong partnership we have with the Ferndale School District is a potent element in our arsenal to safeguard our children. Now, I'd like to read the citation. They are the same to both, and then I'll have them come up and receive their plaque. It says, honorary police officer, be it remembered on this day that Yori Burnett and Mark Debach are hereby appointed an honorary officer or honorary officers with the City of Ferndale Police Department with all the rights and privileges thereto appertaining in recognition of the dedicated efforts and exceptional service provided to the police department in the cause of public safety and the well-being of the students and staff of the Ferndale School District. By order of the Chief of Police. And this is what it looks like. And it's an actual badge that is issued to the officers. It's affixed firmly to a large plaque so it can't fit in your pocket. The next time you're stopped by an officer, this would not be easily producible. Mr. DeMar, it came not only a strong partnership, but a good friendship has. And Yori, if you'll come up. Get these right. It's such a privilege for me to have you join the ranks of the Ferndale Police Department.
Don't give him a ticket, huh?
This Mark DeBock is just to signify your induction into the Ferndale Police Department. And Yori, this is yours as well. And if the council and the audience will join me in congratulating you.
Sam, you know you're going to jail, right?
Thank you so much,
Keith.
Congratulations. And you.
Oh, yeah. No tickets for him.
Thank you, Council. Appreciate it.
Hey, Yori.
All right.
She gave the handcuffs to your wife.
Capital improvement.
I already know that.
Cool.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I guess I got to move over here. I'm going to turn the stoop.
Does everyone have their hand up before we get started?
So you can follow along at home.
Good evening, Council.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. I know this is the highlight that everyone was looking forward to this evening, so I will get right into it. Excuse me. So last week, I went ahead and met with the Public Works Committee to kind of get an introduction into a CIP program or capital improvement program for this coming year in 2015. What I have proposed to do tonight is basically go through as an overview of the projects that we proposed at this point, and have been incorporated or will be incorporated into the budget as part of a CIP cash value for what we want to or look like we're going to be expending next year in these four areas: the water, the sewer, and the storm. So I'm going to roll right into this a little bit real quick. Main things I want to talk about is just quickly go over the 2015 projects. I'm happy to take some questions if you'll let me kind of work through this. There's a list that's been handed out in the packet of the projects, including a breakdown of some of the funding sources, and I'd be happy to field any questions you have with that, but I'll roll through this real quick so we can get everything kind of out there and give people a chance to maybe comment afterwards. Second item I'd like to talk about is I want to outline some of the project funding needs. Again, that's included in your packet. And then a little bit further discussion on where do we kind of go from here as far as decision-making with some of these projects, because this is not the one and only time we'll probably be talking about some of these projects. I'd like to have some work sessions to kind of drill into some of this. It's quite a bit of information, so I'm going to go through a lot of it tonight. But I would like to have further in-depth discussions after we get to the budget and work through finalizing the CIP next year early in January and the first part of February. And I've got some tentative dates that I'll outline here at the end of the presentation. So first off is the water. There's about four major elements that we're going to work on. Three are basically projects. The Thornton Pump Station Generator and Reservoir 1, or VFDs, or variable frequency drives, and switchgear replacement. Fairly routine maintenance activities at those sites we want to take care of. The reservoir mixers are something that's been in our CIP for about 3 years that hasn't been funded. We're proposing to fund that this year. It'll help circulate a lot better. It'll get us better chlorine residuals where we need them in the tank, and allow us to basically provide a better product as far as water coming out of the reservoirs. We have the Church Road station as well, very similar to the Thornton pump station with variable frequency drive changeover and switchgear replacement. We have a lot of planning that's in our capital improvement plan this year, a little more than normal. Some of that's carryover from work we started this year in 2014. That includes the long-term supply plan and our overall water system plan update, which we have started this year. It's going to carry over into next year. So there's some funding that was budgeted this year. You'll see it again in 15. Hopefully we'll have that wrapped up in the first or second quarter. The long-term supply plan deals a lot more with sustainable water resource, and the wellhead protection kind of go hand in hand with some work that we're doing right now in consolidating our water rights, and that's work that will continue on to 2015. I can talk more about that if you have some questions. The last element, as you know, is kind of something that came up rather quickly in the last 2-3 months, which is the Central City Water Association consolidation. I put in parentheses design only because there will be no construction next year pertinent to that project. But at this point, we have been become eligible for some funding to help assist the association in becoming consolidated. It's about 120 homes, and we talked about this at the last council meeting. That's going to be moving forward into design next year. Right now, the Water Association themselves is funding some of the preliminary topographic work that needs to be done, field work, and some of the early design through a grant that they received from the state. Here's a picture of Reservoir 1, just to kind of give you a point of reference. Didn't take photos of everything. I thought it would be way too much to try to go over, but I'm happy to talk about any of them. This map, and a lot of this information, just for those of you who are here and for the council, we'll post this on the website as well so you can get a better look, because I wasn't sure how well this was going to translate on an overhead, because there is a lot of information. So in this case, there was only 4 projects that are identified, including some of the costs. Sorry, I apologize for that being a little bit hard to read, but these maps are included in your packet. And then I kind of did a flyout of the area of the Central City Water Association, because that's an area that's going to be consolidated. It wouldn't show up very well on a full-size map. But that red area to the left is basically Central City's boundaries. So the budget that we're proposing right now is just over $1.1 million. That includes all of the planning elements in those projects that we just identified. So any questions on water real quick before I move on? Okay. So sewer, I broke it up into 3 areas. We have a lot of pump station upgrade work that's been identified in our CIP, some of which we wanted to try to get to this year. If it didn't, it's carried over to 15. This is all kind of on the backbone of the bonds that we did in June, working with those bond revenues to fund some of these repair projects. That's where this money is coming from. Here's a list of these pump stations that we're going to be looking at for upgrades. Pump station 2 and 3 are very similar in design. They're kind of getting done concurrently right now. Pump station 3 looks like it'll be done earlier, so we could probably get started on construction next year. There's a variety of upgrades that have to happen to that. Pump station 2, same situation. Pump station 4, we're just finishing up the design review. We're about 95% complete, so that's going to go out to bid probably the first part of January. The Meadows pump station, this kind of goes back to some of the development agreements that we have currently right now. One is with the Meadows pump station. It'll be a new regional pump station. It's on this list because it's going to be constructed with the first phase of the Meadows as part of their offsite improvements. They paid a proportionate share of that pump station. The rest will be basically apportioned out on other benefiting properties in the area. It's regional. It's based on your elevation, if you can be served by the pump station. So we're working right now on a latecomers, preliminary latecomers assessment that I'll bring to you probably the first part of January that will outline those affected properties, and that will get into a whole other layer of detail here in the near future. We have pump station 17, needs some flood proofing and some I&I. I&I stands for inflow and infiltration, so if groundwater or surface water is an issue that we're worried about, maintaining the reliability of that pump station in the flood plain. Pump station 19, we'd like to add a generator for some redundancy due to power outages. We have some of these pump stations have a much higher risk factor as far as when we have power outages. So we're trying to address 1 to 2 pump stations where we can per year. Pump station 19 looks like we can manage that in the budget for next year. We need to upgrade some controls as well. But getting a generator on that site would definitely help the reliability during power outages. Here's a few pictures of pump station 17 and then the Church Road pump station right at the base of Church Road. So overall, in the sewer collection system, we've got quite a bit as well that we're going to try to get into design and or construction. So I've kind of pointed out which ones in particular. They're just specific geographic locations. So you've got Labounty, I-5 to Nordic. You've got Molloy Avenue, Thornton to Oxford. Thornton and Molloy, Thornton Road, all kind of tie together. These are all identified in our sewer comprehensive plan, which we are also updating right now. Those three projects kind of run straight through the area where we were also talking about the BNSF overpass. So a first step of making some modifications to the system that we've already had. So they are kind of separate, but we are going to be working within the same right-of-way with getting that sewer line to come down to the east and south and also in decommissions of one of our lift stations in the process once we make that connection. So Molloy, the Golden Eagle portion, is an upgrade to the system that's needed with that revision to how that side of the hill basically drains off to the treatment facility, to our treatment plant. We need to line about 3/4 mile of pipe in order to get it to a situation where we felt it's reliable. It's a really difficult location and prone to failure. So we're going to take a look at that a little more closely and getting that in a better operating state. So I wish I could point this out a little bit better. So in this area right through here where it says North Molloy coming down, you'll see an area. This would be about where the roundabout is, a portal. This section of pipe is what I talked about with Molloy, Thornton. That's basically the leg that we're adding. Right now it shows as a schematic. This is straight out of our sewer comp plan. But I wanted to kind of see some of the improvements we need to do in the area that follow that route. It'll take this pump station offline. And again, more sewer projects. Got a lot of sewer projects to do this year. Most of these pipe belly repairs were identified in 2014. We're going to carry over and consolidate in one project so we can get it out the door and get the repairs done. Those are the three locations where we're looking at for the repairs. That kind of concludes some of the construction work we want to do next year. These pipe belly repairs would be something we would get out for bid next year. These wastewater plan updates, there's some hazard mitigation work that we need to look at. We need to update our emergency response plan. The wastewater treatment plant facilities plan is the starting point to look at putting over the next couple of years, maybe even 3 years, starting planning our next facility expansion. Right now we operate at near capacity almost all the time, and especially when we have high weather events, we get some inflow and infiltration in the system, we operate right at capacity. And we have some great operators that do a wonderful job of keeping us in compliance, but it is a battle that we're not always winning. We're holding the line, but it's something we really want to raise attention to and get started on the next expansion of the plant that's going to be needed. We'll also be taking a look with the wastewater treatment plant or the wastewater comprehensive plan. We will study trying to go out into the system to find I&I sources to try to help give us a little bit of relief while we go through that planning effort with the facilities plan. So there's a kind of a double-edged sword. There's a couple things we need to do, both out in the system and at the treatment plant. So I wanted to point that out. And then that last item, as I said, the update of the sewer comp plan that we started this year, it'll basically roll out about the first or second quarter. We should have that wrapped up, and I'll provide an update at that point. Here's an overall map, and again, we'll go ahead and publish this on the website for folks. We'll have all the projects that I've talked about, including the planning projects, have specific costs associated with them, so I wanted people to be able to see that and also get an idea of the locations. So should they, you know, live in the area, they're interested on what's going to go on around their neighborhood, it'll give them an opportunity to look at that. Budget-wise, right now, with that list of planning and capital construction projects, we're looking at just south with $3.8 million in wastewater projects for next year. That a lot of that's going to center around the construction-related projects with our pump stations. And included in the packet's kind of a breakdown of where that number is derived from. So if you have any questions, let me know as soon as I get past this next little part. So stormwater is pretty brief. We have kind of a limited stormwater capital projects budget. So we are trying to stay kind of focused on some things that we think are important. The Brown Road culvert is failing. We've seen some sloughing and some undermining of the road, which has been kind of a challenge to determine how long that's going to hold up. So we've gone ahead and we put in Public Works Trust Fund applications, still waiting to kind of see if that holds up through the state's budget. But we're optimistic that that might have an opportunity to get funded. In the meantime, we went ahead and included that in the last bond to make sure that we had adequate funds should the Public Works Trust Funds, if that funding does not make it through the legislation. So stay tuned on that. I'll definitely keep you updated. Nooksack River Outfall is an area just basically near Cost Cutter, just north or just south of that area. We have existing capacity issues there as it is during high weather events. We've done a pretty elaborate basin study of that area. I'm going to roll right into that real quick. Councilmember Burch?
Back up the sinkhole. Sure. When was that picture taken?
This picture?
Yeah.
This picture was taken the latter part of last year. The sinkhole.
Has it been patched since then?
The only thing that has shown up, maybe sinkhole wouldn't be the right term, but it's starting to kind of, the road base is starting to fail under there where the culverts are located. These two white lines represent the outside parts of where the culvert, the double barrel culverts are. And you don't want to see this when it starts to undermine.
With all the rain we've had, it's got to be growing.
We're keeping a close eye on it. The reason we moved this up as well, too, is that up here there you'll see a railroad crossing. BNSF has approached us, too, that they want to do some upgrades to that crossing. So we're going to try to consolidate those projects if we can to keep the cost down. So that's a good question. But, yeah, we're keeping a close eye on it. Right now, if it were an emergency situation, we would have been here a long time ago having this conversation. But right now it's in design. We feel like we've got a little bit of time to get it worked out. And so as long as we monitor it, we feel pretty comfortable that it's definitely not a safety issue. So that's a very good question.
We just don't want to lose somebody in a sinkhole. Like
absolutely not.
Absolutely
not. So I'm going to scroll down real quick. So here's the three project locations that we talked about. Third Avenue Storm. This Third Avenue project is a small little one block right not too far from here. We've got some rain gardens proposed, and we've got a grant application in to the Department of Ecology on that one for funding, so we're optimistic that we will get funding for that project, but it's a wait and see. Won't know until like June of next year. And again, a lot of these projects you'll see tonight are designed next year, built in 2016, or very late in 2015. So you've got the Brown Road Culvert project up here to the north, and then you also have the Nooksack River outfall issues here, which is a open and closed conveyance system that runs right along the interstate. This is just a picture from our study that we just completed of that basin. So you've got, you know, we call it Higgins Basin because it's Higgins right over here. But it's the reach that we would propose to restore is right along through here, following the road past the ICU in that area. There's about four or five reaches all up and down this corridor that need to be repaired, opened up. WashDOT does not necessarily make this a priority. So we're going to deal with what we can within this section of the right-of-way. The rest we need to take a closer look at as we kind of evaluate what's going to happen on Main Street at that intersection when we kind of do the roundabout evaluation. That's going to raise a few more questions. So we're kind of dealing with this as we can afford it and as we go in order to make some progress. We've also analyzed a special assessment potentially of the areas upstream of that basin to recoup those costs. And we're getting close to getting that kind of finalized for further discussion. So that's it for STORM, those three projects. So your street list, which I know is usually the most popular, so I'm going to roll through this too. So a lot of you are aware of Washington Street, Second Vista. We've been looking at that for a while. We did just find out, for some folks in the party know, TIB did award us $280,000 towards that project. So that's one of the three funding sources that we need for that project. So that's good news. We actually only asked for $250,000. They gave us $280,000. So that's good. We're still waiting to hear back on the Safe Routes to School funding, which is another $200,000 we need to make that a project to go. You'll see also the budget that I have put together includes some TBD funding that's needed for that project. So if you have any questions about that, please let me know as well. Second on this list is some ongoing work from this year, which is finishing up Church Road. We've had a heck of a time kind of getting the landscaping thing sorted out since we kind of had a failure to perform from the landscaper on that project. So we're in the process of rehiring someone to come in and do the landscaping work. So we're, Katie right now is in the middle of negotiating, trying to get someone in there to get that wrapped up. Third item is the roundabout at Washington Vista. The house we're talking about demolishing is this beauty right here that is in varying states of disrepair. So we've got some money in there to start that work. There's quite a bit of asbestos abatement as well. So we're working on updating the budget for that for next year to get that accomplished. Then we also have some continuing study of the Thornton Road overpass. There's some design money in order to continue on that road, trying to finalize a bridge and alignment and look at the impacts to neighboring properties, which is still kind of being evaluated, kind of pricing out some of those options. This is kind of a general plan of profile, plan of cross-section of Washington Street. Just wanted to kind of show you some of the early stuff that we had where we're adding some enhanced crossings at 3rd Avenue in Washington, Golden Eagle Drive. So it's going to really improve pedestrian safety. It's fully multimodal. It's going to have bike lanes, setback sidewalks. It's a good project, so I'm optimistic that we're going to move forward with our funding and hopefully get into that design next year. I wanted to just show you some of the area where we're talking about the planter strips on Church Road. Everybody loves Church Road. Main Street Bridge, we have to do some load rating on this. It's been kind of put off for a very long time. I'm going to safely say probably due to funding. But it is something that is required. So I've basically put together some quotes and included them in the budget in order to do a load rating for the bridge. Here's a few more maintenance projects. Now, what I propose this year is to kind of focus a little bit on maintenance. Past budgets have had a lot of feel-good, great new capital projects, which is fantastic, and there's usually a great transportation need and benefit that can be assigned to those costs and those projects. But what I've also seen is an ongoing line item for the basics, which I call crack sealing and patching. It's overlays. It's the simple things that we need to do to kind of get back out and maintain some of the system, our transportation system that I think needs some attention. So what you'll see from me and what you see in the packet is a very maintenance-heavy program for 2015. Main Street was identified in both the six-year TIP and the TBD list as a project of importance. There's two very significant patches that need to happen on Main Street, as well as quite a bit of crack sealing in order to keep it in good condition. For those who aren't familiar with the process, crack sealing is probably the least expensive and the best possible way to add some life to your pavement. It adds 3 to 7 years, depending on how much traffic and the condition when you actually do the work. I've seen it last as long as 8 to 10 years, if done correctly on low volume or low traffic streets. So the two top projects are Main Street, I-5 to 3rd, and from the I-5 ramp to Barrett Road. Both have quite a bit of crack sealing and patchwork that need to be done. I think if I recall correctly, the budget I had assigned to that was roughly $400,000 to do that. In addition to that, if we're going to go out to bid for crack sealing, I'd like to go ahead and take a little more comprehensive look at least at our arterials and even some of the residential streets, depending on if they are in good condition or relatively good condition, that we can figure out, yeah, this is a good candidate to crack seal, I'm going to expand that list. And so I've earmarked some money to put together a list that's kind of in development at this point. $60,000 was the number I put in there at one point, to try to move towards a little bit of a maintenance heavier allotment of funding. We have limited funding in streets, that's no surprise. So I'm just doing what I can to maintain what we have in the best way possible. Councilman Raper.
Start your practice program. Could you maybe do a little bit?
Speak a little bit before we can.
I don't have a microphone anywhere near me. I'll yell.
Project.
Could you maybe investigate to see if there's a different type of compound out there that might be just a little bit more motorcycle friendly? If you've ever ridden over one of those crack seal strips on a bike with a temperature above 80 degrees, it's like running over a python. The bike just goes nuts. It has no traction whatsoever.
That's a good point. In my experience, a lot of it is the installation that is the fatal flaw, the timing, the prep, what you do to prep. And I'm pretty savvy with it. So a lot of it's good supervision of the contractor can make a world of difference. And also we'll spec out a couple different types of material that I found work really well in this region that help. So.
I got to second that because when they did I-5 on-ramps, when it gets wet, those things are slippery as all get out. When you try to accelerate to get on the freeway, you know, feel it slipping.
Yeah, a lot of contractors will overband too much, which means that basically they're putting too wide a swath in. Usually an inch and a half at the most is all you would need on each side, and a lot of them just use an excessive amount of product. In a past life I did charge by the pound, but it also gave me a little bit better opportunity to look at application rates to figure out whether they were using enough product, because a lot of them were not. So moving on here. The fourth item is this annual sidewalk replacement. It was basically something we had on the decision card, kind of got pulled out. I worked with Mark really closely, our finance director, and we feel like we could fit $100,000 in there to get some sidewalk replacement done this year. So I've included that in our list of capital programs this year. I haven't identified those locations at this point because I have not had, honestly, enough time to go through our sidewalks and feel like I have a good rating system in place in order to make those decisions. But it will be something that's going to be promptly paid attention to should we move forward tonight with the budget as we propose it. I would be happy to work closely in looking at prioritizing, you know, what I think and then bringing it to the council as well for input.
Chad, quick question on the sidewalk. So you're talking about replacing existing or creating where people would like to see sidewalks. Is this right now you're just talking about replacing what we have and maintaining what we have?
Well, until I get a little bit more involved in the inventory, and do a little bit better condition assessment, right now I need funding. So how we decide to move forward with $100,000, it's only going to go so far.
Okay.
Ideally, I'd like to use that for replacement, but if there are opportunities where we think we want to add missing sidewalk segments or sidewalks, that's kind of dual purpose that we'll talk about. You know, when I come forward with that, if we find, like, hey, there's some opportunities here to add some sidewalk, we feel like we could fit it in that budget, I want to bring a rationale. I don't want to just kind of fire from the hip on those kind of decisions. So,
thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And as I mentioned, the Main Street Bridge load rating would be the last project. Again, I'll put this map up on our website, so anyone who wants to take a closer look is more than welcome to kind of look at the cost breakdowns and the locations of the areas. Right now, the street fund budget, and I broke this one down because it's a little more complicated than the utilities, which are enterprise funds, meaning that they have a sole purpose. The street fund has multiple funding points, so I wanted to outline those. So right now we're looking at just around $1.06 million for street fund budget for those projects, and it breaks down into these three categories. About $812,000 would be allocated from the street fund, $360,000 from the TBD, and just over $500,000 in grants. Mostly those are, there's some, this money's, a lot of this is matching for some of these other projects. The street fund and the TBD is going to focus really heavy on those maintenance projects. And then there's a small, you know, there's a small amount. I misspoke there. I apologize. There's an amount of that that is quite, it's different than what we've probably done before, where we were really heavy in matching funds because we had these opportunities for Church Road or Barrett, others. 2015 isn't going to be like that. We don't have anything on the horizon to roll out next year. I have no, you know, great sexy projects to roll out next year. It's going to be a little meat and potatoes, but I think it's going to be well spent. We do have some good projects should that funding come through, like with Washington and with Third. We've got some good projects out there too. So there's the kind of the breakdown of where that just over $1 million is this pencil from. And I have that also further broken down in the handouts. So the next steps, pretty straightforward. What I'm looking for your help tonight is to...
can you go back to that one?
Sure.
Maybe I lost something.
Sure.
It's 1.067 million, but you got over a million...
This is grant funds. So it would be just these two.
Okay.
My apologies.
So you're hoping to get some additional grant funds to offset those, or yeah. In addition to?
Yeah, this would be TBD and street funds. That's a very good question. But no, that right now the projects we've identified, we need or have asked or requested over $500,000 in grants. And so far, we've been awarded $280,000. So there's another $200,000 that we are waiting for safe routes to school, and then there's another additional pocket of money that we're hoping for portal, looking at studying doing some sidewalk improvements there, or some multimodal improvements on portal. So the capital improvement plan for 2015 is what we basically have just gone through as I proposed it for water and sewer and the stormwater utilities, and also, as you've seen, a street budget that I think is pretty solid this year. I'd like to do a couple of work sessions in January and February and go a little more in-depth in these projects so you have a better understanding of what we're getting into. Some of these are, you know, $1 to $2 million improvements, especially in the sewer utility. I think you deserve kind of a good understanding of where that money is, what's the purpose and why we're doing it now, I think is important. So I'd like to take an opportunity for a couple of one-hour work sessions to get more into that, because this is a lot of information to bring forward. It was a comment made to me, as a few of you know, at committee last week. It is just a lot of information to just take in a timely manner without asking 1,000 questions for a couple hours. So. For tentative purposes, we'll say the 19th and the 2nd. And we'll keep those on the horizon for an opportunity to kind of go into this a little more depth if you have questions. Obviously, I'll take some questions tonight. Be happy to do that. And that's pretty much kind of the core of what we've got. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to take some questions.
Council, any questions for Chad on anything? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I guess I do have a question just for staff in general. So do you need council to officially, via a motion, approve this plan, or are we just going to be discussing this as part of the preliminary budget?
Yeah, the more detailed CIPs that we bring forward will be incorporated into the comprehensive plans that eventually we will be adopting. But this was intended to be more just a 10,000-foot overview. Really no action tonight except for just congratulating our Public Works Director and going in the right direction.
Very excited about maintenance.
Yes.
All right, Council, next on our agenda is a public hearing for our preliminary 2015 budget. Mark? Remember, Council, we are going to have a public hearing.
Good evening, Council, staff, and the public. Clerk has published a preliminary 2015 operating budget. I've updated it slightly tonight. You've got paper copies, and I've got some paper copies here for those that are interested. And so one of the challenges we have every year, it seems, is to balance the budget for the general fund. General fund includes most of our general operating expenses, including fire and police, staff, planning, building, probation, jail costs, you name it, it's in there. And our major funding sources for general fund would be property tax, sales tax, and the various utility taxes. So right now we're proposing, we're at the point where in our draft budget we've got in the general fund, about an $18,000 deficit. That is, expenditures are higher than revenues by about $18,000. In the next few months, and probably going on into early next year, obviously. We have some labor negotiations scheduled for four different units. We don't know how that exactly will come out. We've taken a conservative view on those. Conservative meaning accountants, when they say conservatism, means lower than perhaps some might say on revenues and higher and some might say you should be correct on expenses. So it's lower revenues, higher expenses. That's conservatism. So in the packet available here, in the packet you have earlier, several summaries, including a summary of our actual ordinance. The second, on the very first page, the second half, the back page, shows all the funds in the operating funds, as well as summaries of 2014 estimate and 2015 budget for all of our operating funds attached. I guess at this point, unless there's some technical questions of me, I'll sit down and see if the public would like to speak.
Yes, thank you. Any questions of a technical nature, Council? All right, seeing none. All right, I need to read the rules for you. Public hearings. A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the Council for consideration in their decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the City Clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who signed up prior to the beginning of our meeting will be called first to speak at this public hearing. If you were unable to sign up before the meeting, you will be given an opportunity to address the council once we've gotten through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name and address for the record and will be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on an issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group. No one has signed up, but if anyone would like to come forward to talk about the budget, now is your chance to address council. Extra credit students, just one. Why doesn't it work? All right, it's 6:47. We can close the public hearing. All right, council. What's your pleasure? Question? Oh, wait.
Just as a note, they're not adopting the budget tonight. It's just in the room, so you don't have to take any action.
Okay.
We'll bring the ordinance next week.
Okay. So now's your chance. If there's anything you think needs to be changed, any?
I guess, Mr. Mayor, pro tem. Oh.
Go ahead.
Just a quick discussion. As we reviewed the decision cards, the one outstanding item was the nonprofits, and in the preliminary draft budget in front of you, there's nothing in there for 2015 for nonprofits. There might be some discussion on that tonight, perhaps, that we revisit that in early next year, perhaps after 3 months where the data is collected and see where we sit, and in fact, see if we did have a surplus for 2014 or not. Perhaps some leftover funds, if you will.
Councilmember Goodrich, you had a question?
Well, that was my question about the organizational grants. Is that the same thing as
the organizational grants program is the nonprofit?
That's okay. What I thought.
And
that's
we'll be talking about that later on. In
yep. Oh, very good.
Okay, I was confused there for a second. Okay, that was my question.
Councilmember Ingram?
No, we did.
Okay, Councilmember Mushler?
Yeah, I had a question. I don't know if it fits here, and I apologize when you bring it up. And when we were working on the budget together, one of the ways of handling our shortfall was a raise in utility taxes. We were considering going from 9 to 10 on the water sewer star. And then correspondingly, we were going to reduce, I don't know which one, but so the net effect on the customers would have been no change at all in the bill. And I've been kind of thinking about that for a few weeks, and I'm just kind of have a question for council. When that came up and we discussed it with staff assured us that was something we could do, lower the rates, some combination of water, sewer, storm, and not have any detrimental impact on those particular enterprises. And so what I thought about was, could we still do that? Could council lower those rates since we could a few weeks ago? And actually maybe give our customers a break in some kind of combination water, sewer, storm. I don't know if council's even interested in doing that, but it's been in my mind for a couple of weeks. I wanted to at least raise the question with council. Does it seem like a possibility a few weeks ago? Maybe it is now.
I guess I'd like to have Mark and then Chad as well, because we just got a whole presentation on how we're going to spend water money. Mark, first.
Sure. The presentation on the revenue decision cards was just what council member mentioned, and that is a just a proposal. like we did a year ago. One proposal would be to lower water rates, a one-time lowering of 3%, increasing utility tax from 9% to 10%. The typical user of water sewer, they would show virtually no change in their total bill. It'd be pennies different. That would bring in $64,000 into the general fund. Yes, and it would reduce slightly the revenues in the water fund. When I ran that scenario, it didn't adversely impact the financial health of the water fund, but it did take some money away from the water fund.
So we were at the time, and it was a legitimate idea, I thought. It was kind of Peter Paul kind of a thing. I don't mean that in a negative way. We were going to raise general revenues by raising the utility tax from 9 to 10%, but so the customers wouldn't really feel it, we would lower the rates. And again, the state, I asked the question at the time, could we do that and we still be whole and healthy in those enterprise funds? And I was assured that we would be. So,
in my view, we would be. And, yeah. And yes, there is time if you decide to do that. These bills would go out December 30th with that kind of an adjustment. Just like a year ago, we went out with water bills where we actually lowered water and sewer slightly, but increased the utility tax from 6.5% to 9%. Typical water sewer customer using 12 units of water every other month, which is our most, the arithmetic mean and the mode, would show virtually no change in their total bill.
But in that particular case, the water sewer enterprises were not affected at all because we were just sort of, central services was the issue at the time.
That was a challenge, certainly a challenge we had a year ago, is to balance out those central services.
So I don't know. I don't know if council's even interested in going that way. I'm just raising the question.
I guess my question is for Chad here. We just got a whole presentation on how he's planning to spend our water fund. And are we talking about lowering the amount of money we're bringing in for water? Because there's a lot of projects.
You would. That's how it works. It's
okay,
math.
That's what. I don't know.
We were considering that a few weeks ago.
I know we were, yeah, but that was to solve a different problem.
But NADA's new news now, we can't do it.
Yeah. Mr. Hansen, did you still have
a question? Well, I was a little confused, John, because you used the phrase to give our customers a break or something to that effect.
Yes.
How would that give them a break if it's robbing Peter to pay Paul? The bill would still be the same. They just pay less on their...
Six weeks ago, that would have been true because we would have then raised the utility rate from 9 to 10. That was the plan at the time.
Okay.
The suggestion at the time was to lower the rate but raise the utility rate so the bill would be the same. I'm just wondering, since we've now close to balancing the budget, not raise the utility rate from 9 to 10, the tax from 9 to 10, but still lower the...
Just lowering the water.
Oh, you're only talking about half of it.
Oh, just the one side.
I didn't get that, what you said. Yeah. That's not what you kind of...
Sorry,
well,
I didn't understand that.
I'm looking at just lowering the rate.
Well, I guess... If council wants to, then you could certainly make a motion and see what happens.
I'd rather hear from, if council is interested, hear from staff whether that's possible and what would it be. Because I don't think it would be straight across the board. It might be more for...
I think it's always possible to lower our fees. It's just a matter of, will we have enough money to do what we need to do is the question.
But we said we did 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But what you're wanting to do is something different than what we said 6 weeks ago. Because we were going to lower one and raise another... to balance things, because we're trying to balance the general fund, but what you're talking about is just lowering one, mm-hmm. not having that other balance.
And I was also going to maybe clarify, the proposal before was just water, just lowering the water rate, not sewer, just water by 3%, which means the water fund would get $64,000 less
right.
in revenue. Just to, I want to be clear that that's...
So that $64,000 today, is that... Would that be a risky thing for us to do today, but it wasn't a risky thing for us to do 6 weeks?
No. I'm not opining on the risk of it. I just wanted... A year ago, we lowered both water and sewer, and we looked forward into the capital improvement plans and didn't think it would harm them. The customer's bill was neutral, and the money flowed into the general fund. I think all of you understand that quite well. I just wanted to be clear that what we're talking about now is just, at least the proposal that we had before, was just the water fund... 3%, and in this case, delinking the lowering of the water rate with an increase in the utility fund. So the question.
But a year ago, when we lowered the rates, we made the water sewer whole because we also didn't take out as much for central services at the time. That was kind of a market.
But that, you're right. The timing was correct at that time. Not looking for a similar huge adjustment in central service costs this year.
There doesn't appear to be interest, but I wanted to raise a question.
Well, Councilmember Olson had a comment.
I think what he's getting at is I'm kind of looking at this. I'm listening and I'm listening. If we think we can give back 3%, doesn't that mean we're charging 3% too much?
Well, I guess it really goes to, and maybe a public works director can talk about this. It's a question of how you want to and what rate and pace you want to accelerate or not accelerate your maintenance and ongoing capital improvements. In this case, we're talking about $64,000. So over a 10-year period, naturally, that's $640,000. Could our public works director find good use for $640,000? Probably. Could our system take, if you will, not having $640,000 over 10 years? Probably. But I guess all things being equal, we are on the cusp of altering the way we look at our capital improvement plan to maybe focus a little more on maintenance and not so much on just capital projects. So while this, I think, had some validity before, given what I think we're all learning now of the change in direction or the slight change in direction that a public works director is advocating, where we're going to be doing more and more work in maintenance, I'll leave it up to you, but I think that if that money stays in the water fund, we will certainly spend it wisely. And should you decide to, I guess to use the term, give the customers a break, so to speak, I'm sure we could do with less.
Well, I'm not saying that. It just, to me, it doesn't look good when you say we can give a 3% break at one point and then we don't up the tax, but yet we still have, back to the core issue, is we can afford to give 3% less. I've said it before, and it looks like one of the things that are on here, now we're going to be looking at dump trucks and just a lot of trucks, and they're all getting charged all these different fundings. In particular, my biggest pet peeve is stormwater. That seems to be our new slush fund. What does stormwater need to get charged five different vehicles, or a portion of five different vehicles? Why wouldn't we just charge, I believe we already bought a new vehicle, or we're about to buy a new vehicle for the new stormwater person. Yet now we have even more vehicles. How are they being used in stormwater, yet we're charging stormwater for all this? It looks like we're using these, I hate to use the term slush fund, but I'm going to. Mm-hmm. It looks like we're using all these water rates to fund all these different things that, do they really belong in there? I agree some of it does, but I don't know if it's the amount that we're being charged.
Yeah, we try very hard to charge appropriately. Just for example, on our labor costs, we have a budgeted labor cost, but on an actual basis, monthly, finance director takes the actual time cards and allocates them to the different funds. The same thing could be said for the vehicles. We budget the vehicles to be used in various funds, but we actually charge them based on where they are used. And I believe our public works director has looked at the use of the vehicles, and he feels comfortable, given the workload and his future capital and maintenance and operating, that he feels that the charges that were suggesting to the various funds are appropriate.
Well, I'll save the vehicle argument for later because we're going to have that one, and we'll just go back to John's.
I guess if to kind of maybe summarize, at least from my end, given as I said the changing course that I see our utilities moving, where we're going to be focusing in the future a little more on operations and maintenance and a little less on capital improvements, I would suggest that we leave the water rates alone because there's a lot more need out there, and we'll be hearing more and more about that as we have those study sessions that Chad suggested earlier when we start really diving into the needs of the water, sewer, storm utilities.
Well, that's probably a good idea. And another good idea was we don't bring up any more of these rob Peter to pay Paul, because then it arises in these situations we're talking about.
I agree.
All right, we have Councilmember Ingram and Hansen, then Webster, then Goodrich.
This is for our finance director, Mark. We're on water utility taxes currently 9.
Correct.
And you said if we moved the utility tax to 10, what would that bring in?
It would bring into the general fund $64,000 per year.
What would that add to the average bill?
0.
I'm not talking about lowering one and raising the other.
Oh.
I'm just talking about leaving the water rate the way it is and just add 1% to the utility tax.
What that would do is add $1.61 every 2 months for the typical water sewer customer. At $1.61, that's 0.92%, or a little less than 1% increase.
And that would bring us $64,000 into the general fund?
Correct.
Man, I'd rather see us go that way, personally. I mean, if we can put the general fund basically $40,000 above water, some of that could probably go to capital projects.
Councilmember Hansen?
This whole discussion of how much do we need or not need in the enterprise funds all boils down to projects. If you lower by $64,000 the amount you take in for water, that means $64,000 worth of water projects won't be funded. And we're going into a year where we're not quite sure what this new filtration system is going to cost. We haven't gone through a year to get a year of experience, so it's speculation at this point. We could lower water, sewer, and storm by 10%. Don't have a heart attack, Chad. Just take a 10% cut across the board and think it through, Council. If you did that, what's the end result? The end result is fewer projects in those enterprise funds. In terms of, you may have to cut back some staff in order to do that. Well, we could do that. It's not impossible to do. The question is, would you be able to do the services? I mean, two of the top services, in my estimation, for a city. There are some others, but two of them are safe, clean water, and safe and appropriate disposal of water. Without those two, you've got a mess, literally.
Councilmember Butchler?
Yeah. Councilmember Hansen, 100% agree with you on those priorities. I guess I didn't hear sort of those convictions, well, not from you necessarily, from the council when we were considering the idea a few weeks ago, because it would have impacted the water sewer fund. So I guess I'm asking our public works director, was that a good idea a few weeks ago, or we've just sort of kind of evolved into a better understanding what your needs are as a public works director? Because I didn't hear much protest from public works at the time.
You've only been here, like, what, a week?
Well, I don't want to be answering that was my concern. It seemed like an easy thing that we were going to slide into. I was kind of hoping to be an easy thing tonight to slide into, and we could tell our customers, hey, we gave you a little break, a few bucks next year.
I think it's an, Councilmember Mushler, I think it's an important discussion to have, and it's one I've had with councils before, not this council, but others. And it's a difficult decision because you give up the ultimate example, which is the robbing Peter to pay Paul example, which is what you always hear because it's true. You're just moving money from your left hand to your right, but it's still in your pockets. I mean, that's how it works. You're going to use it for something else. I'm always going to be a proponent for the utilities and for our street and our transportation system. That's what you hired me to do. I think there are challenges with the general fund. There are support services that every public works department needs. We need support staff. You know, if we had a legal department, we'd say we need a legal department. We need legal help. We need things that the general fund does offer. We're not a standalone. We're not a public utility district. We represent the city just like every other department. So I think it's important to know that you know, I do take residence at City Hall, just like our planning department does, and the mayor's office and some others. So there is a relationship there that I think is important to keep in mind.
I feel like we could move forward without making those adjustments, and I think Councilmember Olson, you bring up a very good point, which is if you can cut it, why wouldn't you just cut the rates? You know, why wouldn't you just drop 3% or 10%? Why establish the rate at all? We're supposed to be basing these rates on some science, on some predictability or some probability that things are going to happen, that we're going to need to fix things. Comp plans and capital improvement plans that we develop with those comprehensive plans are developed with a lot of care and a lot of thought on how long things are going to last. We're not here to develop. Development will occur and it'll pay for itself if we're doing our jobs right. All I'm looking for is funding to take care of what we've got right now, what we've committed to the public and to our residents to say, we'll take care of this and make sure that when the water gets to your house, you can drink it. And if it breaks, we're going to come out and we're going to fix it.
That's exactly where the idea kind of comes.
There's the core of my. That was very philosophical. So, I understand the temptations that are there and the needs sometimes that are there, and there are the legitimate needs sometimes to help support the general fund. So, but those are decisions that unfortunately you guys are stuck making, as far as the taxing rates. There's my 10 cents and then some.
And I agree with you completely. And we want you to fight for that. And I just want to respond to Councilmember Hansen, kind of using Keith's language. When I got to council, our utility tax was 6%, and we voted up to 6.5%. And then we did a pretty hefty jump to 9%, which is, I understand why we did that. I just hate to see our utilities sort of become our golden goose for revenue. Because council needs to also remember that besides the 9% we get from the utilities, we're still taking central services out of it. I don't know if it's 3 or 4%, something like that. So it is helping our general budget, even without the tax. So I couldn't go to 10%.
Mark, go ahead.
Just as a side note, when we presented this before, we noted that we're having a windfall of, we have over 100 customers added to our water fund, water revenue for Central City, even though at a 20% discount, that's equivalent to about 80 new customers. That brings in about $20,000 a year extra, so that's kind of a windfall thing. Part of my thinking of presenting this option.
Thank you for your time.
Councilor Goodrich, you
I'm not in favor of what you're proposing, Councilor Mutchler, as far as the lowering the rate, because I could just see us next year raising it back up again, and I don't think that's fair to the customers. Say, hey, we're going to give you a break, and then turn around and raise it back up again because we really did need the money. I'm almost leaning, and I'm not, as most of you know, really a person that favors tax increases, but I'm also kind of go with Councilmember Ingram's suggestion of raising it the 1%, or maybe even just another 0.5%. And the reason I favor it is because water is something people can control their usage of. If you're using a whole bunch of water now, you can go down to your local hardware store and buy a water saving X and put it on your faucets or whatever and cut some of your water usage. Property tax, you can't go cut a chunk of your property off and say, I don't want that chunk of my property anymore and lower my taxes that way. I don't know how the other council feels about either a 0.5% or a 1% increase, but I think I'd actually lean toward that if we're looking at doing any type of increase or to help offset the budget.
Just talking about utility tax
at
this point?
Yeah, just on the water, like we were talking about here, where we're going to lower one, raise the other, or like Councilman Mingers, let's just raise the one. And I don't know if we need to go the full 1%, but maybe we just do a 0.5%. And offset the deficit that way. And then that all works out to, what, 80 cents?
80 cents. $32,000.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at this point, we need to let Mark know if we want to add this. This is the preliminary budget, so next time we meet, we're going to get the budget. So if you want to do it, now's the time to tell him so he can work the numbers and bring it back to us.
Yeah, and if you did want to do it, yeah, we would actually bring the ordinance next meeting to you, so we would have the budget and the ordinance simultaneously.
Well, I'll go out on the limb and make a motion that we raise it 0.5%. Let's see if anybody seconds it and where the other council members are on that.
Specifically, which I want, just for the record, specifically which...
The water.
The water rate.
That's water sewer storm.
Yeah. Utility tax on our own utilities.
Yes.
Got it. I want to make sure that everyone understands what they're voting for.
No, you said something different. You said water sewer storm.
Right. It's utility tax on City Ferndale utilities. I can't do just on water. That's probably impossible.
So the $1.61, and in this case the 80 cents, would be on the combined water sewer storm bill.
Yes, because it's the utility tax.
Yeah.
Okay. Not just water.
Not just water.
Yes.
Because we've delinked water rates with the utility tax. Utility tax applies to all three utilities.
Is there a second?
Well, when I made that statement, I was being halfway facetious.
Well, they don't care. That's not nice.
Well,
people
are supposed to be able to see that. But
so you're not seconding?
All right. No.
All right, so the motion dies?
I don't think that the time is right.
Okay. Well, then the motion dies for lack of a second. That's fine.
That's right. I still had a...
Go ahead.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate Mark's creativity to try and find all these things. I would just offer in the future, when we make statements that we have 3% that we could possibly give back, that we don't make statements like that anymore, because obviously we don't. We have a need for it. So this would be the second time we've done a give back, the last time, and then this would have been the second, which we didn't do. That, to me, doesn't look good. That means we know we have more money, or we're charging more money than we need to. So that should go away. That sort of thinking should go away, and that way we'll never have to have this conversation again.
Council,
I realize you're a new guy.
Options.
Just something for the future.
So, good.
All right. Any other discussion, Steph? Do you need anything else from council before you come back with us? For the
budget?
I do not. That's what I thought. I think you said quite enough. All right. Let's see. I apologize, Jim. Capital project updates. I thought we were going to do this sooner. Let's go right ahead.
This is very brief, so there's only a couple things to kind of inform you on. We talked a little bit about Church Road during my presentation. Right now, the landscaping and that final lift is kind of the only thing that's hanging out there while we finish up some of the private property restoration. So that's kind of the beginning and the end of that update. Councilmember Ingram.
Are we allowed to say in public who did not perform and we had to go out and look for new people, or is that something that's not
public record?
Yes. It's up to us whether we want to say that or not, if we need to get into it.
Well, you can tell me later. I'm just curious. Because I'm having a landscaper problem.
Have we changed landscape contractors in the last couple of weeks?
On Church Road, we are in the process of changing landscape contractors, yes.
Right now?
Right now, we have a proposal for one. We don't necessarily have to go out to bid, so we've gotten one quote, and we're kind of going through that line by line. Katie is.
I'm having a non-performance issue with the landscaper right now, and I'm just curious if it's the same one.
The company went out of business, so that's the
issue. Oh,
in the middle of the project?
That one.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah, that
okay.
One.
Oh, that one.
Yes. Well, we all know.
We all know.
You don't have the secret decoder ring, so you don't.
The company that's currently working is the company that landscaped Main Street. Am I correct?
I believe so, yes.
Thank you.
Apologize for not dragging Katie here tonight, but I was trying to give her some reprieve.
That's very nice.
Well, and next time you see her, she just turned 40, so just remind her.
Oh, that was hard. She just said that right on the...
So the other thing,
so harsh.
The BMX park, just to let you know, we did put a hedgerow in there, so there's a bit of a buffer now. So if you get a chance to drive by, take a look, it will grow bigger, and it will shield over time. But I wanted to let you know that's been completed.
Thank you.
And the other thing, just real briefly on some grants that we have kind of floating around out there. I know I touch on it every once in a while, but right now I just wanted to kind of include from time to time. You know, we like to get excited and tell you when we get the money, but... Sometimes I think it's helpful to know that we are out there pursuing it. So, as I mentioned, you know, we've gotten some CIB funds awarded for next year, or going into 2016 for Washington Street, which is great. We've got a couple of others that are kind of floating out there that we won't know till probably May or June. One is the Third Avenue project that I presented on tonight. That LID project is really contingent on some DOE funding. So stay tuned for that. I just want to let folks know as well that... that some of these projects are contingent on that. So if something doesn't happen for a few months, it isn't for lack of a design. That project's fully designed. It's shovel ready. We're just waiting on some funding Portal Way, we've also submitted for a study to look at looking at sidewalks and adding some safer routes and some school routes. So we're waiting. We won't know until May or June. There are some folks here tonight who are interested to know that we are trying to actively get out there and get some funding so that we can take a good look at it. And as I pointed out, I put some money in the maintenance money in there, so hopefully we can direct some of that way if we come to those decisions. So other than that, Central City, we've definitely gotten a great little subsidy that I wanted, a lot of folks don't know about, but just over $750,000 of that project, which is estimated at 2.2, is subsidized with forgiveness. So there's some great opportunities. It's a good work that folks have been doing to get grants. But that's kind of an update on some things to come and some things that that are recent. So that's it kind of for capital projects, unless you guys have any questions.
Council, any questions? Fred, you had a question for Chad.
Yes.
Come on, just go to the microphone, please, for the record.
Yeah.
I've lived in Portal Creek Park for 8 years. I have seen one maintenance thing done to Portal Way, and that was one ditch by the off-ramp from I-5. You have done absolutely nothing. I wonder if you do have a street department, and if you do, what the hell do they do?
Well,
I've never seen anybody repair anything on Portal Way.
Well, Chad's brand new, and that's his plan, is to do a lot of maintenance. I mean, I don't know, Chad, do you want to speak
to
that?
No, I can certainly speak to that. I don't make excuses for being new. I've got my approach to things, and I've tried to kind of show that tonight. So you got a feel for the direction I want to take. I didn't want to be explicit on priorities because we're still kind of trying to make sure that we are moving money in the right places at the right time and for the right reasons. And you and I have spoke, and I think that I'm a good listener. And I wanted to, and I made a special point tonight to bring up Portal Way just because we have gone out. We are trying to get monies specifically for that. But it takes time. And then you've been patient, and I can see that. And maybe your patience is running out.
My main project is getting the sidewalk and a bicycle trail for the kids. Because traffic is getting heavier and heavier on Portal Way. And have you ever put a car counter on it to see how much traffic is on that road? And as long as you're talking about the bridge over the railroad track, right now you have the roundabout on the wrong side of I-5 because the traffic is going to come off on the north ramp on the Portal Way. It's not going to be going south. So if you're figuring on Portal Way, you ought to figure in a roundabout there, because where's that traffic going to go?
Thank you. I know this is frustrating. It's frustrating for all of us. We have $10 million in projects we'd like to do. I mean, just keep coming back. That's all we can tell you. We're working to get the money.
Yeah.
May or June is when we'll hear about
the like I say, the main thing is the sidewalk and then the bicycle.
And I know it's about, you're concerned about the kids. This isn't for you. You're concerned about the kids.
Yeah, really. Because there's a lot of kids off in Portal Way. I figured it out one time. It's something pretty close to 400 now, just in Portal Way area.
I do appreciate it.
I do, too. Thank you. I do appreciate it. I'll keep working on it.
You will. He'll keep working.
Okay.
Thank you.
Council,
anyone else? Questions? All right. Thank you. All right, yeehaw. More budget. Budget decisions cards. And Councilmember Olson can't wait to discuss this with you.
No, not necessarily him. I mean, we have one genuine preacher at this table, but this is an absolute miracle that we can find all this money for these, what were decision cards 2 short weeks ago.
Preacher, brother.
All of a sudden, we can get all of these dump trucks, all of these trucks. We had a decision card for sidewalks, and all of a sudden, that's in there. That was $100,000. It's just, where is it coming from?
Falling out of the sky.
Right? Apparently so.
Divinity. Our prayer.
So I'm dying to hear these, other than the slush funds, allocating it among the four slush funds.
I'm calling it a slush.
I'll await your explanation, or somebody's explanation.
I think I'm your man, Councilmember Olson. So, and I appreciate the council taking the time tonight to once again revisit the vehicle situation. I met with the committee last week to try to give a little bit more detail because I felt like I did not have the proper information with me last time we talked about this. So what I have tried to do is and included in the staff report some more information about the vehicles. The way that this is being done, and it's one dump truck, and it's three trucks, three half-ton trucks or smaller. So what I've done in conjunction with my staff, Bo Westford, which most all of you know, looked out and reached wide and far to see who may have good used vehicles around that could fit these categories of what we're looking for to replace our old small pickups that we've used for regular stop-and-go traffic. And it's been an education for me as well from our mechanic to just sit down with him and go, what is it that makes this a unique driving experience than when I hop in my car? And Councilmember Olson, you probably recognize this from your years in law enforcement. I mean, you can really beat up a car depending
on
how you need.
I'm not questioning the need for these. All of these are needed. I'm just questioning the magnificent miracle that has happened that has brought us all this money. Maybe I'm an idiot. I've been called that before. How does the dump truck help stormwater?
The dump truck right now is almost 30 years old. And let me, if I may.
Okay, get to the point quick because I didn't ask how old it is. I want to know what a dump truck does specifically for the stormwater.
That's a good answer. It's a good question.
Thank you.
Most all of our fleet is used unilaterally. Meaning there is no stormwater dump truck. There is no wastewater dump truck. There's just the two dump trucks. They're used throughout all the utilities, which is, in essence, why when we wrote up the decision cards, we try to spread out the funding. We will do our best, for example, in stormwater when we use dump trucks to go do, let's say we have to dig up and do pipe replacement. Maybe we need to replace some catch basins, do ring and lids. Maybe we need to go out and do some trenching. Maybe we need to pull some berm so that we get good drainage so we don't lose the pavement conditions on the edge of the pavement. These are all stormwater activities. They're all maintenance activities. Dump trucks are needed. When we do ditching, we clean ditches, we got to have a dump truck to put it in. The ditches are considered a conveyance system, which is part of the stormwater system, which is funded by the Stormwater Fund.
Okay.
So that's a few examples, I hope, to add a little clarity to that.
I hope you can also explain, because, I mean, when you initially came to us, it was $250,000 to get one of these trucks new. And so they've done some work, and they've found some trucks hither and yon where we think we can get exactly what we need, but get it for less than $50,000, and that includes putting the blade on.
Yeah.
So this is a really good deal for the city. It's not going to spend $250,000 on this new dump truck. They've done a lot of work. They've got a line on one where they think they can get it for, I believe, $35,000 is what they're looking at, and then...
All right, I think there's some good significant savings in here. Mm-hmm. It's just I don't like seeing, I understand streets and water for these sort of things because that's where the majority of them are going to be used. What I don't like is keep seeing this ever-increasing stormwater fee up and up and up and just generating more and more revenue, and then we find more and more, what I think, more and more creative ways to spend it.
I think just... As an aside, I mean, we're doing more with stormwater because we're being forced to do more with stormwater. I mean, the state laws keep changing. And this dump truck will be used for stormwater support. Every time we go dig out a ditch, like on Port Away, that needs to be dug out, we're going to have to stick that dirt somewhere. And right now, our dump truck is just not going to be able to do it.
Just quickly add here, too, and I think all of you appreciate this, because I, until just recently, always had used vehicles, and actually, used vehicles cost less, but they cost more to maintain, and they don't last as long. So that's part of the trade-off that we have here, is that if you buy a brand-new dump truck, we might get 30 years out of it. If you buy a used dump truck, you're not going to get as long of a life out of it. We have the advantage of having a fairly compact city, and we also have a very good mechanic. So I feel confident that he has the ability to not only maintain what we have, but find good used vehicles out there. So this is cheaper now. But realize there is going to be increased maintenance. There is going to be shorter lifespan. So it's not all just, you know, on the magic side. What you're giving up is a brand new long-lived asset for a not brand new, not as long-lived asset. But that's a trade-off that we feel is appropriate at this point. you always like to buy new. I mean, if you have the money, why not? But it became abundantly clear that we did not have the money for new, but the need did not diminish. So this is the alternative course that does not come without any downside risk, but I think they're manageable.
Councilor Rader.
Well, just to address Keith's statement, yes, this seems that the stormwater fees keep going up and up and up and up. It's called an unfunded mandate. We're caught between a rock and a hard place. The federal government and the state government say you have to do this with stormwater. Oh, and by the way, we're not going to give you a dime to do it with. Well, where are we going to get the money? It's got to come from the fees, and I think staff has done a pretty good job of holding down the stormwater fee increases pretty darn well. I don't like to pay them. It drives me crazy to have to pay them, but it's a fact of this time we live in. And, you know, it's one of those things about go tell Obama. I don't care, because it comes down from the top, but we don't. But we have to pay the bills. So.
Councilmember Hanson?
Is it time for a motion?
Yeah, it could be.
Sure.
I move that we authorize the expenditure in the 2000 and, well, I guess it's in the 2014 budget, $35,000, and in the 15 budget, an additional $15,000 to purchase a used dump truck.
Second.
All right. So that just we're just going to do one at a time. That's fine.
Well, no, we can lump the other three together.
No,
before.
We can't.
No, we can do one at a time.
One at a time.
Works. Okay, that's fine.
All right. We have a motion on the table.
Second.
You second. All right. Councilmember Mutchler.
So if I'm understanding the staff report, most this is not come out of the general fund. This
no.
Come out of the enterprise fund. So it doesn't affect the general fund.
No.
That's correct.
I don't dispute the need. I'm sure the guys need all this stuff. What I'm not going to support it because I do not support the way we're funding these things, the funding sources for them.
Any other comments? All right, council motion on the table for.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought was Chad's head.
No, I just as you said that, I thought, well, then how would you suggest funding if we're not going to fund them out of the water, sewer, storm, things where the truck is being used? Where would you fund a truck like
that? We made that decision in the last council meeting on all these things, on all these items here, and we said no. Now, if you wanted to,
so
when we went through the list, and we very hurriedly, we came down to dump truck. Everybody said no. So you're.
We said no to a $250,000 dump truck. Yes,
yeah, if I could.
That's correct. That was then. Yes. If we're talking about new things, then we should have a new discussion with everybody, not just one committee, like we have been doing.
Yeah, go ahead.
What actually the council said was, what Public Works and council agreed to at the last meeting was that Public Works would go work to find more information about these vehicles, all of them, including the dump truck, and bring that to committee to be discussed prior to this meeting. And so that's what occurred. So at the last meeting, there was an explicit discussion, and I can pull up the tape for you if you'd like, regarding Public Works would come back with more information about all of these vehicles, including the dump truck, because he fully recognized that we did not have $230,000 in the budget for the truck.
I remember it differently, but well, for the sake of argument, we'll say you're right, because both Yori and I know you're always right.
But he doesn't have a badge.
I need a badge.
Yori's got his handy there. She keeps pointing it at me, but it scares me.
I'll send you the tape. I'm happy to do that.
No,
I'm not right. It's just what happened.
It's the way I remember it as well, but go ahead.
That was the same to me. But that's we'll speed this along. Again, that was one committee's decision. We have been all talking about these all the decision cards as a council as a whole. Hmm? Now one committee has decided.
No.
Hmm?
No, they're just making recommendations to the full council. And then it's up to the full council what to do.
As I recall, it was the full council that said, go get more information and come back to us and we'll see what we can do. That's the way I remember it.
Right. That's what he's saying. So we're going to say that's okay.
But this is
the first time we're hearing about this. Here.
As a whole.
As a
council,
whole.
That is correct.
It didn't get brought to the whole council until now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And now it's being brought to
because
you.
Because it's new information.
Do it. Okay.
Whatever. Let's just vote.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
All right. Chair votes aye. 6-1. All right. Oh, we still have...
Yes, we still have us other things.
Yeah. Chad, want
to... So the other part of this for discussion is a little more consistent with the decision cards we had before. There was four other vehicles that we had proposed for replacement to be funded from the enterprise funds. What we had discussed in committee and what I'm bringing forward to the council tonight was an opportunity to look at this. We figured $22,000 per vehicle. Those are brand new prices based on what we saw last year for vehicle replacements. And these are all replacements. We think we can do much better than that, but we wanted to look at this as a not-to-exceed approach where we would look for some authorization through the budget for next year to give us an opportunity to go out and shop for, you know, lightly used vehicles that could do the job and also come back with, you know, the results of what we're able to find, needing some authorization to move forward with pursuing the opportunities to get some lower-cost vehicles than the $22,000. So that's kind of what we're looking at.
Councilmember Ingram?
Well, I guess that, as normal, when I made my comment at the last meeting, people just thought I was wacko, which is not unusual. Here's a truck, half-ton truck, being used to do new locates and encroachment inspections. And if that couldn't be done out of a Leaf for $199 a month, guess what? I just can't believe it. If you can't lease a fully electric vehicle for $199 a month from the local Nissan dealer, stick our city logo on the door, and throw your clipboard and your tape measure in it and go around and do these locates. I mean, I know the equipment to do locates with. You can fit it in your Leaf 10 times over. It's just not that difficult. And to spend $22,000 on a truck to do that, I can't wrap my head around that, not these days.
Right.
And there's no maintenance on these vehicles, none. So the mechanic would have less to do. Our fuel costs would go down. Where's the downside to this?
Well, I know Chad looked into it.
Well, I had some discussions with our mechanic, and let me explain that the money that we would allocate towards these vehicles to go out and purchase isn't necessarily for pickups. And I was listening when we talked about this last about alternatives. And you're correct. I don't think we need half-ton pickup trucks to be replaced. I wanted you to see what was there right now that we are utilizing. Like Ford Rangers, they're not half-ton trucks. But they're faced with some big medical bills, if you will, or mechanical bills that are forthcoming if we keep hanging on to these vehicles past 100 or 150,000 miles, which one of them is approaching.
But our mechanic couldn't even work on a Leaf. He doesn't have the tools or the knowledge, and there's nothing to maintain.
The Leafs were quite expensive when we looked at them initially. Now, lease options, that's not something I've seen done by the city of Burndale just yet.
I mean, I don't see why. Is there any rules against leasing vehicles for the city's sake? Can we at least look into it?
Certainly.
I mean, get a Prius if you don't want to leave. I mean, anything that saves gasoline and maintenance costs. Because on the rare occasions when some of these people need a truck for meter reading and building maintenance, inspections of sewer and storm work, if he desperately needs a truck that day, borrow it from Bo. Because it's just like, here's $44,000 in those two trucks being allocated here, and I understand the need to replace the existing ones, but why can't we replace them with something in an alternative fuel vehicle that'll save us a ton of money?
I am curious, because it says we're doing locates and encroachment. Are these trucks in a public works pool, so it's mostly used for this, but you do, in certain situations, need a truck to do other things? Or
we're still small enough as far as agencies go, that we don't. There's no motor pool because there's only a handful of inspectors. I mean, generally speaking, we've got meter reading, we've got inspections, and then we've got field work that we're doing where we're doing services, exercising valves, things like that, where you might need bigger equipment. Now, we would love to do hybrids. I've talked to Bo about it. I've talked to our mechanic. Full electric is with our topographic constraints in Ferndale. the charging time needs, from what I'm hearing from them, and I'm not a mechanic, is that it would be really difficult to hold an 8-hour charge in a car to do 8 hours worth of work going up and down the hills of Ferndale. That's the one comment I got back from our mechanic. It doesn't mean we can't do hybrids. It doesn't mean we can't look at something that's going to be much more efficient. We would like to just look at this as saying, we're not just saying write us a blank check. We want to also restructure how we use our vehicles. So, like, for example, last year Bo's truck was replaced. It's a crew cab. That's what was on the state's contract as an option. So we purchased it because it was a very affordable price at roughly $22,000. He doesn't need a crew cab. He can switch that and provide it, provide a better opportunity for his crew to utilize it, which is a better use of his truck. And he's happy to do that. But at the same token, we have some vehicles that we know need to be replaced, so that's kind of where this whole conversation started is, okay, what do we feel like is nearing the end of its useful life to us, where it's going to cost us more to own it than to replace it? Regardless of the value of what we think we're going to purchase, I needed a baseline to say, okay, well, what's the going rate if we buy new? If you tell us, give me instructions to go a different route for less money, we'll go out and we'll shop the heck out of it. And we've done it before.
With all due respect to our mechanic, who I have the greatest admiration for in the world, he keeps our fleet immaculately repaired. He doesn't know electric vehicles. And I think that Yori could take you out in his Leaf someday and run you up and down these hills all day long, and you're going to be amazed. I mean, how far does your wife go?
Her round trip is about 90 miles.
About 90 miles. At freeway speeds.
Freeway speed.
And this isn't freeway speeds. And electric vehicles use way less energy at low end than they do at high end. I'm not even going to tell you about mine because it's not in the ballpark. But I mean, whether it's a Leaf or whether it's the new Ford, what's it, the E-Focus? That's an all-electric vehicle. Or a Prius, I think we can do better. I mean, any of these pickup trucks, even the smallest ones, compared to a hybrid or a pure electric, their mileage is absolutely atrocious. And it's going to save us money in the long run. And there's absolutely no maintenance on them. You don't have to change spark plugs. The motor's got one moving part. It's kind of a no-brainer.
Councilmember Mutchler, then Goodrich, then Olson.
Yeah, I just want to. I own a Prius. I thought we could sit back. But if you need to be in front of it, Commander.
I thought I could lay back. I thought I could go to another room.
Please don't.
Don't
but,
phone it
but
in.
But I just sit down on the committee. I was just in the peanut gallery when Bo was there and Dave was there. And maybe they could just talk to council sometimes. They're the ones that will be fixing them, using them. I'm open to the idea, but I want what's best for the city. All things considered, the comment I wanted to make was about the need for the vehicles helps this council member feel a bit better about not lowering the utility tax. I just want you to know that. So
good.
It gives me a reason to say we need that money.
Buy more.
So, there you go.
Let's buy more toys. Yeah. How good do you need to feel?
Let's do it.
Okay. Councilmember Goodrich?
At the committee, when we talked about the dump truck, we gave you kind of a guideline or idea saying up to a certain dollar amount and then the 10% contingency or something just in case something really good showed up at auction. With doing that same type of thing for these trucks, would the $22,000 be the kind of the maximum amount, or would we need to set it? Because I'm wanting to make a motion that we go along the same route as we kind of did with the dump truck and give you a guideline, but I'm not sure what dollar figure to put on that.
The committee's recommendation was not to exceed $88,000.
For everything?
It was to forward to the full council recommendation to purchase the new trucks, not to exceed $88,000 total.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't remember doing that. I remember doing the dump truck. Okay, then I'll make that motion that we don't exceed $88,000 and that you guys work out the best way to distribute that money, whether it's a truck, a car, or bicycle, or what.
For four vehicles?
Yeah.
Still four vehicles.
For the four vehicles.
Is there a
That included the dump, the earlier dump truck. That
no.
No, this that's is, actually no, separate.
So Council, all you approved dump truck.
This is just for the four, to replace the four trucks, or
I
four
second,
vehicles.
I have second his motion.
All right. Motion and second. Councilmember Ingham.
I would like to make a friendly amendment to that motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, were you thinking?
Oh, I did. I'm so sorry, Keith.
You did it on purpose.
I did. It's all personal.
Hate to sound like a broken record. Are these going to be taken out of all four of these trucks? Going to get a hunk out of the slush fund?
So I'm not really aware where the slush fund exists, but yes, it will get
okay,
distributed
the
from the water.
I'll name it for you. The stormwater slush fund is going to be paying a portion of four more trucks?
We'll do the best we can to apportion based on how they're used now or how we're going to propose to use them.
There are four possible sources, though, funding sources.
Yeah, but I don't like approving things when I don't know where the funding sources are. Apparently, I don't know, maybe everybody else is okay with that, but I'm not. So that's why I was asking the question. But if you really can't be more specific.
It says here 401 and 402 for that one.
That's water and sewer.
534.50, 535.450, and 542.30, and 542.40.
Break.
Water, sewer, storm, street.
Water, sewer, storm, street.
Okay, well.
No stormwater, does it make you feel better?
I think he did say that.
Water, sewer, storm, street.
Yeah, those are the four. Nice try, though.
I was trying.
All
right, any other comments? Mr. Hunter Rangum.
I was going to make a friendly amendment to that motion.
You can just make an amendment if you
want. The price not to exceed would include at least investigating alternatives to pickup trucks. If they can be done with a smaller vehicle, it would be good.
I think that's kind of what Councilman Goodrich said. I mean, how do you have this motion? Because I thought he said to find the best deal, pickup car. Is that not?
Yeah, whatever the best vehicle for the price and what we can get. Now,
that's fine.
If it's a lease, then we'll lease it. If it's not, you know, it's however we can best provide the needs of the crew.
Councilman Olson?
I don't know if you'll be able to answer that. Perhaps we're buying two police cars, so now we're going to have two more old police cars that be into the fleet, possibly. So,
I could probably answer that.
Okay.
We actually have one other police vehicle right now that we thought we were going to be able to use around the city that is not currently being used. We're actually looking to surplus that and probably send it to auction. I would be surprised if we keep the other ones around, if not send them to auction, other than to be maybe emergency rotators for the police. But otherwise, they're probably going to get sent to auction.
They're very high mileage, the two we're going to get rid of. So.
Because we already replaced the admin vehicle and the public works admin vehicle. We don't need to replace those again, and I don't know what other services we would need, but I'm sure Public Works, especially Dave Carr, he will review them, and based on his determination of what we need around there, he'll let me know, and I'll do a surplus resolution to you.
Well, I mean, that kind of goes to what Paul's saying. If perhaps we don't need a new truck. We can all use an old police car for it. That's providing they're even available. I'm not sure if you have plans for them or...
I thought the two were very high mileage that we were going to get
100,000.
Yeah, more than 100,000, these two.
Well, yeah, they're not good for police work, but they're perfectly fine to run around and check water meters or whatever.
You want to?
Well, we'll certainly look at that.
No need. It's going to be 6-1, so don't worry.
No, I mean, there's no reason we can't look and see.
Absolutely.
Just bear in mind, I'll just comment here, and I'll let you guys decide. They are probably one of the least fuel-efficient vehicles in our fleet. Is the Crown Victoria. So
just they don't drink up $22,000 a year, and they're already paid for.
This is true. But if that is a goal, as Council Member Ingram has brought up, and I take that seriously because that is a goal of my own. I drive a very fuel-efficient car myself. So if that's the direction that you want us to look at, then I would take that wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
I would appreciate that very much.
Councilmember
Goodrich? Just as we're kind of saying, looking in the future in some respects, are there any other advantages to leasing vehicles, or is there any advantage to the leasing? I know when I worked for Southern California Edison, almost all the trucks were leased vehicles, and I know that's a corporation leasing,
and they came out of Texas or some place like that, you know, weird out-of-state plates on them.
Yeah, yeah. If we were a for-profit, if we paid taxes, leasing is a business expense that, of course, reduces your revenues that are subject to taxation. But on municipality, there's no advantage, there's no financial tax advantage to leasing that you would find in the private industry.
Just a monthly payment.
Just a monthly payment. Some leases do come with maximum mileage,
mm-hmm.
where you get dinged rather severely. But that's something we would need to look at to find out what vehicles, what particular use in the city might be appropriate, and therefore how many miles they put onto it. I could even guess today, say meter reading, how many miles a year are meter readers? I mean, they're constantly just going around the city and around the city. I mean, it might actually add up to be a rather substantial number. But otherwise, I think it's just the monthly cost that would be the advantage of leasing.
Any other questions, Council? All right, we have a motion on the floor to approve the purchase of 4 vehicles not to exceed $88,000. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say no.
No.
Chair votes aye. 6-1. You must be psychic. All right. Organizational grants. This is for the nonprofits.
Thank you, Council members. I'll be brief on this. We obviously have had kind of a study session on this issue. There are concerns related to available funding for the organizational grant program for 2015. It has been suggested by a council committee that we defer making a decision on these grants at this time and probably wait until the beginning of next year. What staff is thinking is that probably we would come back to you around February once we have some more revenue and expenditure information to let you know whether or not we could handle it in 2015. So staff at this time would recommend deferring this decision until February 2015.
Agreed.
Council, what's your pleasure?
I agree.
Sorry. Who? I didn't hear who did the motion.
I didn't make a motion. Do we need a motion for that? Then I'll move to defer at the current time and readdress it.
And Councilmember Hansen seconded it. Councilmember Mutchler, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I was prepared to make a motion for the feedback alone and would get comfortable doing that, but that would just be my own view on the thing.
I feel more comfortable, too, because we're 15... Well, 18,000 in the hole right now. Well, we'll see. I feel more comfortable seeing where we are in February and March. I'm not ready to say no to all these groups yet, personally. Just not. Anyone else have any comments?
Perhaps just to clarify, in February, we will know how we finished 2014,
right.
Whether we had a surplus in the general fund, excluding interfund loan transactions. So,
and the fire department.
And for 2015, we would certainly know how bad the fire district bill will be. That's a good point.
Can we use
stormwater slush?
Why not?
Why not?
Anything else?
Why not?
All right. Motion on the floor. Any questions? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Chair votes aye.
And Sam, do we need to make a motion to defer the...
No, we pulled that from the agenda.
Okay.
Okay, good. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Mayor reports.
All right, mayor reports. The mayor is... I'm sure he's having a wonderful time not being here.
I'm sure he's freezing his patootie off, too.
He's having a great time. All right, council.
H.
What happened to that?
We just...
They'll be back in the office Wednesday.
They pulled it.
We just pulled it because... We're not ready to set fees because we don't know what we're going to do.
We can't rent it, so we're not setting fees.
Yeah. Until we know we're going to do a fire suppression in the chamber. And, so. All right. Council report. Anybody?
I've already taken care of it. Council member Burke is going to take my place in committees on Wednesday, the 15th, or whatever it is.
November 10th? December 10th?
So not a single old settler wants to talk about this weekend?
December 10th.
No old settlers want to talk about this weekend?
It's not old settlers. It's heritage.
Heritage.
Oh, God. We're talking about old settlers who put up the lights last
year. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's not the old people. It's the current heritage. Wait, that's not right either.
Well, I'll bring one more thing up then.
Oh, well, lucky us.
December 5th is the tree lighting ceremony.
Yes.
And it's always been, it's amazing when one little sign out there at the entrance to the park does, usually around 500 people show up.
And freeze their butts off.
Huh?
And freeze their butts off.
And rain this year. Drink hot chocolate and eat cookies donated
cookies.
By Costco. And
yeah.
Santa Claus arrives on a fire truck and all the good stuff. You know, it's a fun time. So, why not bring in your kids?
And the Senior Center is also having a bake sale on the 6th, as well as a craft show. So while you're doing the old-fashioned Christmas, pop over into the Senior Center and get some goodies. I think they're also having a baked potato bar if you get cold walking around.
Oh, boy.
Right. Councilmember Ingram.
Just for the record of those that give a darn, last community meal, we set a record. We served a full-blown Thanksgiving dinner, turkey, and all the trimmings to 140 people.
Wow.
So, never have seen that place.
It was delicious. It was fabulous.
Great. You're welcome.
Good time.
Thank you. All right, staff reports. City clerk?
I just would like to invite all of the council on December 11th from 11 to 1 p.m. We're going to have the annual healthy, happy holiday barbecue. It is mental health, not physical health, because Councilmember Ingram will be generously barbecuing his chicken once again. This is a kind of a recognition barbecue, more than anything else, for staff who helped us achieve a 2% discount on our insurance premiums for next year, which amounts to more than $20,000. So we're going to give them a little bit of chicken to say thank you.
What's the date?
December 11th.
Thursday.
Correct, Thursday, December 11th, from 11 to 1.
11. Is this to the gym anything tomorrow?
He'll tell us in a second.
Oh, thank you.
Public Works?
Nothing else.
Okay. Finance?
Nothing further.
Okay. City Administrator?
All set.
Last but not least, our new police officer.
That's right. All right. There is no GMA meeting tomorrow. That's been canceled. It might be rescheduled, but nothing for sure. Next Wednesday, the 10th, the Planning Commission, that's 7 p.m. here, the Planning Commission is going to be hearing from Port of Bellingham, Lummi Nation, Western Washington University, Ferndale Chamber of Commerce, possibly a couple other business owners, about general economic development prospects in and around the Ferndale area as part of the comp plan. So everyone's invited to that. It should be an interesting panel discussion. And then on the 16th at 6 p.m. at Central Elementary School, we have invited all Ferndale businesses to learn a little bit more about fire life safety.
Chief, I'm sorry. I apologize. Did you have anything, sir? We were this close.
Is it now a good time to talk about our committee meeting on the 31st, moving it to the 29th, or do we need? Because I know there was some discussion earlier.
Can we just do that? I mean, is everyone okay with moving it to Monday? Can we just?
You just tell us when it's going to be. We'll be there.
Well, I'd like to know now when it's
going to. I just didn't know if staff had any plans for that week, or.
I think we were thinking the same thing. Though I think we can make it work.
Monday the 29th. Same times?
I think so. We'll have
time
for
to do a light morning or
something.
Okay. Excellent. 29.
Mine's in order.
All right.
Booter.
Yes.
Second.
All right. Aye.
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 School kids.